Kate Locke and I are joined on the phone by Pokey Lafarge. Pokey, thanks for being on Sounds Good today.
Always good to talk to some Kentuckians.
Well, we certainly are that.
Well, you're sort of all around us in terms of your influences. Born in Illinois, picked up a bunch of really great buddies in the South, City 3 from St. Louis. I'd like to start off by asking you, when is the tipping point for you? You have been working at music for many years now in terms of putting in the work, doing the time. And it seems to me you're like right on the tipping point of hugeness. Would you comment on that?
Yeah. I don't really see myself as being on a tipping point of mass popularity. I don't see that happening. I do think that I have been steadily growing, and that is just meaning that more people are being exposed to my music and listening to my music. But I wouldn't say that it's due to any sort of mass promotional campaign, like a song on a McDonald's commercial or some kind of, I haven't sold out or nothing like that. It's just been me doing what I do, and my band and my people just doing what we do. And some people are you hang around long enough, people are going to start hearing me, I guess. I haven't changed anything. I stay true to myself. So when you go and listen to my music, whether it's the old albums and the new albums, I would recommend listening to the new album, by the way. But it's true to form. It is who I am. But what I mean to say is that it's hopefully a quality product every time somebody listens to it. But no, I don't think that. I think that if I was going to be mass widely popular, heard by millions of people and some millions of records, I think I would have done a long time ago.
Pokey, there's a cliche that musicians say sometimes, I'm big in Europe. But in your case, it's true. You're actually very, very popular across the Atlantic. What do you attribute that success to?
Well, I guess besides the music and besides the wild work that we have put in there, actually, it is because of a larger popular TV show that we were on. It's like I guess you can't really say it's like a David Letterman show, but it's called the Jules Holland Show. It's a huge music program over there, and we did their New Year's Eve Hootenanny, which is the biggest one, and that got us pretty well exposure across the UK. But yeah, I think it's kind of spread out from there. Holland and France and all across Europe are doing pretty well. But, I mean, people in Europe have been listening to American music since the jazz age, all the way up through blues and R&B and soul and rock and roll and the folk revival. They've been with us the whole time. So not surprising. They're actually quite knowledgeable in a lot of cases. About American music more so than people over here.
Hey, I've heard you in the Maiden Alley cinema setting. I've heard you at Romp. And I want to know, when somebody calls you a vocal polymorph, as did Carl Cooper in The Village Voice in 2009, taking that polymorph into consideration, are you okay?
What's the definition of polymorph?
Well, that's what I want to ask you. I think it's about when you channel Bessie Smith, and all of a sudden, Pokey Lafarge becomes an old woman blues singer. It's kind of uncanny. What does that feel like inside?
First I just want to say that any singer is a polymorph. Then, I mean, if they're saying that I channel Bessie Smith when I sing a certain line, what does Tom Waits channel when he completely changes his voice and tries to sound like Louis Armstrong or Captain Beefheart? I mean, it's the same thing for any vocalist. It's the same thing for any writer. It's the same thing for any artist. You're inspired by people. A writer reads. A painter goes to the museum. A musician listens to music. So I don't know. But at the same time, I'm not going to discount that completely. I would say that it's true. Yeah, of course. I'm a polymorph. So what? But it does have to come through my mouth, and it comes out in a different way. That's the whole point. You can take these inspirations, but if you're copying them, then you'll be seen as a copycat. But I would argue that I make them sound original.
You do all original material, don't you?
On albums, I do mostly. On album-wise settings, I do mostly as well, yeah.
Now, this year, you've added horns to the South City 3. Tell us about that decision.
Yeah, I've been trying to get to a bigger ensemble for years now, actually. It just was a matter of finding the right people, not only musically, but socially, you know, people that you want to spend every waking hour with. I've been very fortunate to add two very integral members to the evolution of my sound. But it's something I've been wanting to do since I was a kid. I always wanted to have somewhat of a Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys type orchestra, versatile ensemble that could play anything. So I'm getting close to that.
I think your last album, Middle of Everywhere, was probably the record where a lot of people became aware of you as a musician. And so for a lot of fans, although you've had records before that, this self-titled record is probably the first thing you've released since you really came into the national consciousness. Is there something in particular you wanted to accomplish with the Pokey LaFarge record that just came out? Something musically you wanted to expand on? Or what was your mindset going into that recording session?
Well, it was the first time I had a producer, so I knew that I wanted to do justice to this record. I believed very much so in the songs. And so bringing in the producer first off was, and bringing in Ketch, Secor, who's a friend of mine, in particular, the reason I brought him in was to really, you know, I knew that he was getting in the production world. And he's a friend of mine, and I wanted some help with the record, and he's a lyricist, you know, and he was able to get me to say exactly what I wanted to say in the songs, and skim away kind of the unnecessary things. I definitely wanted to dig a little bit deeper on this record, having not had horns in the past, I was somewhat limited in my ensemble. So there wasn't the dynamics to sometimes pull off a slow song. Having horns, and as you heard the string arrangement on Kentucky Man, the new album, and the piano and stuff like that, with this is why I want a bigger ensemble, as always have been, because I do believe in the power of a slow song. If it's the right tune, of course, if you're saying the right thing, the right melody, yada, yada, yada. But I didn't have that before. So my albums were just us four coming in off the road and cranking out this record in 2 days, you know. But this one I wanted to take some time with and get down to the depth of my songwriting. As you've heard my old records, I've never been afraid of writing slow songs. I just didn't write more or play as much as I wanted to because I didn't have the right ensemble to pull them off. And so I'm getting towards that now. The new album is just all about adding depth.
What was behind your decision to put this album out on Third Man Records? Is Jack White someone that musically you feel simpatico with, or what was the rationale behind that?
Well, you know, we didn't want to go the major label route. We definitely wanted to take a big step up from their original record label. And, of course, you want to you want to increase visibility and this and that, you know, with your album. But it's all about the music first. And I have had a working relationship with Jack for 2 years, and he understands what I do and what I'm trying to do, and believes in me, and respects my creativity. So that's what you want on a record label, you know, somebody that really with anybody you work with, somebody who sees what you're trying to do and has good creative vision themselves, which of course Dope Man does. So yeah, that was that.
How do you stay in shape? How do you keep your voice fresh?
That's a good question. You know, I go back and forth. I mean, sometimes I feel like I need to warm up my voice. There was a time where I felt like I needed to warm up my voice, and then I would do warm downs after I sing, even though that makes it very hard to do because I go out to the merch table and I'm signing autographs and talking to people for an hour until everybody's gone, and then we got to load up and go. So I recently, within the last month or two, have not warmed up my voice or warmed down my voice, and I'm fine. I realize that the biggest key to preserving a voice is not drinking too much and sleep and getting as much sleep as you can. The more you drink, the later you're going to stay up and the less sleep you're going to get and the more hungover you're going to be, which makes you tired and strain your vocal cords. So that's basically it right there. I don't smoke. Try not to talk too much in the van in the daytime because it's really loud in the vehicle. And try not to yell too much over the music after the show at fans so that you can be heard, you know. Be quiet. If they want to hear you, they'll come up closer. But that's why singers are divas, man. You know, you got to put the voice first.
Is there a particular group of bands you feel more comfortable with? As Kate said, you perform here at Maiden Alley in small venues. You perform in huge stadiums in Europe. You perform at Romp Festival. Do you feel a kinship with the Romp musicians more, or with maybe a neoclassicist like Jack White? And where do you feel most comfortable?
Well, see, Romp fans, I think. Well, if you mentioned Rob, that's a special thing. I mean, it was a bluegrass festival, yeah, but at some purist bluegrass festivals, it can be a little uptight. Where some purist bluegrass festivals can just be great. It's, I don't know, it depends. It's almost festival to festival. I mean, we played the Ryman Auditorium a couple times. I'd say that of course, was just amazing. I guess you're talking about the crowd. I don't know. It certainly is nice to play for a crowd that is somewhat educated on a certain basis of American music. It certainly makes what I do a little bit more understandable to people. It makes it easier for me to communicate. Bunch of people that are educated but are relaxed enough to cut loose and have a good time. It just makes a better time for everybody.
Do you listen to music on the bus?
Yeah, we listen to a lot of music, you know.
What's spinning right now on the bus?
There's so much. Peter Rowan's new album, Dale Watson. As far as modern day stuff, been listening to a lot of old King Records, hillbilly music, whenever this question comes up, I freeze up because there's just so many things to mention. I always just go back to my old staples. My favorite country singer of all time was Lefty Frizzell. I can never get enough of listening to him. But yeah, as far as modern stuff, I would definitely say Peter Rowan, J.D. McPherson. That's a good person people should listen to. I think he just played Maiden Alley not too long ago.
Yeah, he did, and he's excellent. His new album is excellent. It's actually not that new now, but it's finally getting some recognition.
No, it's not. I think he's got a new one on the way. He's incredible. Actually, speaking of something with J.D. and I, you know, he's from Oklahoma.
Yes.
And the tornadoes, of course, are real bad there. And he called me up and wanted to do a song that we could sell online, and all the proceeds could go to tornado victims. So we did a duet on Bob Wills' Good Old Oklahoma. And it should be coming out pretty soon, so look out for that.
Well, Mr. Lafarge, I think you'll be real happy with the company of the Wheelhouse Rousters. I'm just learning that name now for our old friends, Nathan Blake Lynn, Josh, and Eddie Coffey. It seems like it'll be...
Oh, they're going to be opening the show?
That's what I understand, yeah.
Mm. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and it fits right in your aesthetic. Maybe not as high energy, but certainly based in the truth of history.
I know those guys. I know they would do nothing but great stuff.
Indeed. Doors open at 6. The show is at 7. It's Friday night at Maiden Alley Cinema. I think they have a few tickets left at $15 each advance. And we're just glad you keep coming into the region. We like you.
Well, if you heard any of my interviews or heard me talk or listen to my songs, you know that I enjoy Kentucky very much. It has a special place in my heart.
Pokey Lafarge, thanks so much for taking the time to be on Sounds Good today.
Hey, you guys did a great job. Good talking with you.
Thanks. We'll see you Friday.
All right. Bye.
You are listening to Sounds Good on Murray State's NPR station, WKMS. We're online at WKMS.org.